Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. As you and I gather this morning and as we think about what humble faith is all about, we are going to turn our attention to the parable that Jesus told in our gospel lesson for this morning. As you think about that parable, and I'll reread it here in just a moment from verses 7 through 11 in our gospel lesson, it is helpful to keep that very first verse of the chapter in mind. It said, one Sabbath day, when Jesus went into the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat bread, they were watching him closely. You and I then begin to understand a little bit about who he is talking to and why he says the parable in the way that he does. Jesus had often been invited to go into other people's homes. They are the ones who invited him and wanted to have him there. But you and I are reminded that this particular time he is in the home of a prominent Pharisee. It's the Sabbath day. And he wasn't invited because they wanted him there. He wasn't invited because they wanted to learn from him. He wasn't invited because they were looking forward to his company. He was invited so that they could keep an eye on him, so they could watch him, see what he does. In the words that come between verse 1 and verse 7, there is this man who is also there, someone who is suffering, someone who needs to be healed. And there are some who speculate that perhaps the reason he is there is because they want to watch Jesus closely and let's see if he does some work on the Sabbath. Of course, Jesus healed that man. And then he tells them this parable. When he noticed how they were selecting the places of honor, he told the invited guests a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline in the place of honor, or perhaps someone more distinguished than you may have been invited by him. The one who invited both of you may come and tell you, "Give this man your place." Then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and recline in the lowest place, so that when the one who invited you comes, he will tell you, "Friend, move up to a higher place." Then you will have honor in the presence of all who are reclining at the table with you. Yes, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. So we put ourselves in this meal at this banquet. And just as the Pharisees were very busily paying attention to Jesus, watching him closely to see what he might do, so now Jesus is also watching. He's also paying attention as the guests come in, and he's noticing something that was rather normal. And he watches how they're busy picking out the places of honor. That was something, he had mentioned that before. The Pharisees liked to be noticed. They liked to be on the street corners. They wanted the places of honor in the banquets. And so the idea that as they came in, they were busily trying to find that good spot. And the good spots were usually pretty close to the host. So as you're coming in and as you're picking out your places, you're trying to get as close to the host as you could, because the closer you are, the more honor you have. And the more honor you have, the more the rest of the guests notice exactly how far up in the pecking order you have become. Just as Jesus noticed them doing that, so also you and I understand it. Because we've caught ourselves doing the same thing, haven't we? Very literally, the places of honor can be translated first eaters. So you walk into the wedding banquet, whether it's a daughter or a nephew or a friend or whoever it may happen to be, and as you're walking in, perhaps there is this tendency to try to get as close to the head table as we can. We want to be up there. We want to be near the guests of honor. Usually it's kind of the important people that are up close to the head table. First eaters might just simply refer to those who deserve to eat first. And I kind of like to think that I deserve to eat first. Or maybe it's just simply the other thing that we catch ourselves doing at times. Maybe I'm not necessarily looking for being honored, but I still like to eat first. And so you walk into the big banquet hall, you see where the buffet table is lined up, and you look around and you try to figure out in your mind which of all of these tables might get to go first. Or maybe you try to find a table that you think has somebody important by it. Oh, I bet that table will go first. And so we sit down and we begin to enjoy ourselves. That's an honor that we have decided that we deserve. So as Jesus watches all of these people coming in, as he watches them picking out those places of honor, and as you put yourself into that situation, when you've caught yourself doing that, you're in your place. You picked out a good spot. Pretty content with what you have done for yourself as far as where you are in the pecking order of things. And as you are sitting there, and as you're perhaps watching over the rest of the guests that are there, consciously or unconsciously, perhaps thinking about the fact that I've got a pretty good seat here, you notice the host is coming. Even the host has noticed the place that you put yourself. Even the host has noticed, and he's coming over to talk to you. And look here, he's also got somebody that he's bringing along. I'm sure this must be somebody he wants me to meet. And he says, give this man your place. And now all of a sudden, the honor that you had claimed for yourself, somebody else has decided, no, you're not that honorable, you're not that important, you're not as important as you thought you were. This person is important. This is the one who should be sitting here. So now you can, as Jesus says, with shame, move your way down the line, pick a lower spot, and all those guests that you've been watching are now watching you take the low spot so that this person could have the place of honor. How embarrassing. How embarrassing to put myself into that position only to have the rug pulled out from under me and have somebody else determine where I should be and what kind of honor I should receive. You've heard the phrase, right? Pride comes before the fall. We've heard the phrase, and probably every single one of us has lived it to one degree or another, because pride is what naturally comes to us. We want to look out for good old number one. We're convinced that if I don't look out for myself, who will? And so I need to take care of myself. I have to take care of myself. And that is why I am willing to pep step it down the hallway when I'm at school, because I really should be in the lunch line first, because I deserve to get through that line first. I should have been consulted when they made that decision at work. When they decided to do something at my office, they really should have come and talked to me, because I could have told them that this wasn't going to work. Or I could have told them that it should have been done this way. It really should have happened that way. I know what I'm doing. I know what's going on. I really should have that promotion. I've worked hard. I've shown my worth. It's something I deserve. They should give it to me. Isn't that what our natural sinful pride just does? It wants to think about itself. And so as we watch these Pharisees come in and they try to handpick their places of honor, part of us grins at their selfishness and their self-pride and how they're willing to do that. And then we think of all the times that we did it. When I wanted to be first in something minor, something big, it was all about me. So Jesus says in his parable, how about if we just spin this around? Instead of coming into that banquet that you've been invited to and you start looking for those places of honor, maybe first of all, just be thankful you're at the banquet. Be thankful that you are there, that the host thought you were important enough to invite you. He wants you to be there. So now when you come in, you're not necessarily worried about where's the places of honor, how close to the host can I get, but just simply understand other people have been invited too. There are other guests who are there. And out of respect and deference to them, there may be others who deserve that spot more than I. And so I just find my place. And as I'm sitting there and as I'm watching the other guests, the host comes walking up. The host comes up to me, he greets me, and he says, "Friend, move up." Now, instead of me deciding that this is where I'm supposed to be, somebody else made that determination. How amazing it is that Jesus says that instead of everybody else watching you go from a place that you had decided you should be at to someplace else, now they get to watch you go from a place that was a little lower, and they get to see that the honor that the host has given to you. What an amazing thing. Isn't that what humble faith is all about? Busily thinking about someone else, not out there to get what I think I should be receiving. Let somebody else worry about that. Let somebody else determine what the honor is. I just humbly serve. And so in his little proverb, if you will, Jesus wraps the whole story up. Yes, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. You and I catch ourselves doing that not just with people. We do catch ourselves thinking that I deserve it, that they should have noticed who I am. But we catch ourselves doing that with God too. We come into our worship space, we come into our congregation, whether it's on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday afternoon, and we catch ourselves at times coming in, and we think that as I am putting that gift into the plate, perhaps others are noticing. I hope they notice what I'm doing, and then maybe they'll pick up the slack a little bit and help me out. We catch ourselves thinking that as I go through this service, others are watching, and they see how dedicated I am, and they see how important I am to this congregation, and they see what I ought to be doing. And then, of course, God can see it. God can notice, I'm always here. I'm always giving. I'm always serving. He must be proud to have somebody like me in His kingdom. And we catch ourselves doing the exact same thing to God that we sometimes do to others. And we expect that we can walk into His kingdom then. Not so much because of who He is, but because of who I am and what I've accomplished. And heaven is mine because of what I do. With that kind of an attitude, then perhaps the words of Jesus from last Sunday begin to ring in our ears when we arrive at those gates and we think we're walking in because I deserve the honor of being there in heaven. He might just say, "I don't know you." So whoever humbles himself will be exalted. The law has humbled us. The law has humbled us. As you and I think about what God expects and what God demands, all of a sudden it hits us right between the eyes. I don't deserve anything from God. I don't even deserve to be invited to the banquet, much less having any kind of a place of honor there. The law has reminded me that the only thing that I deserve is hell, separation from God, not being part of the family. That's what I deserve because of who I am, proven by what I do. But the gospel exalts. The gospel comes and says, look at how exalted you are. First of all, you are invited to the wedding feast. You are a member of God's family. The gospel picks you up and tells you that you are worth so much to your Lord and to your God that He was willing to step into this place. And even though He has all honor and might and glory and authority, even though He is the Son of God who has every right to everything, He took the lowest place. The lowest place, the one that says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He did that because He wasn't thinking about Himself. He wasn't there trying to gain honor for Himself. He was giving all glory to His Father in heaven and giving all glory to you. You are now wrapped in the perfection of Christ. You are wrapped in His absolutely perfect life. All the selfishness, all the self-glorifying that you and I do, that has been lifted from our accounts. That is what has been paid for in the blood of our Lord and our Savior. You're part of the kingdom. You're going to the banquet. Heaven is your home. You and I rejoice in that exaltation. And now you and I rejoice to give Jesus the honor. I'm not out to honor myself. I want to thank Him. I want to praise Him. So yeah, I am going to come, and I am going to serve, and I am going to encourage, and I am going to give. I'm going to do all of those things, not so that people see me, but so that they see Jesus. And they see His grace. He gets the honor as we gather around this gospel, as we rejoice in what baptism has accomplished, as we receive the body and blood, as we use that means of grace, and that is what He uses to build and strengthen that faith that He gives to us. We serve and honor our Lord Jesus as we then honor those that He's placed around us. All those people that live beside us, across the road from us, down the street, in our classrooms and in our offices, as we see opportunities to help them, serve them, honor them, we do that as we give honor to Jesus so that they too can see what an amazing thing it is to be invited to the banquet. Friend, move up. That's what Jesus says to you. Friend, move up. Not just from a lower spot in the banquet to a higher spot, but you actually get to move up into the banquet. Moving up out of Satan's clutches, out of sure and certain eternal death, and now you get to move up. He calls you friend. And just as much as you and I might be annoyed by someone who is constantly looking to get what he thinks he deserves, so you and I now humbly stand before our Lord and our Savior. And we know what we do deserve, and we marvel at what we receive instead. Friend, move up. And that's the honor that Jesus, in His amazing love, gives to you. Amen.